This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth and a quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Daddy. Good evening to our pastors and our fathers who are seated. Good evening to our brothers. May the Lord bless and strengthen us in Jesus' name. What we are discussing tonight is, we call it caught in the web, right? Caught in the web, you know, how to escape, you know, the trap of sexual immorality. So caught in the web, how to escape the trap of sexual immorality. The essence of this conversation is to be able to fetch lines from the doctrine that we know, you know, and see personally, just to share stories with us, you know, on how we can navigate this. Amen. And I trust that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me just start from, you know, Pastor Praise. You know, can you just tell us, because really, sincerely, sometimes I have conversations with brothers. I look at my own self, you know, coming to this stage. It seems as though the warfare, you know, at the gates of a man concerning the issue of sexual fire, you know, it seems to almost be a recurring decimal for many brothers. I don't want to just say every man so that I don't make an absolute statement. But it seems if you count 10 brothers and ask them, what's your number one? What's your number one Goliath that, you know, you have conquered or you are trusting God for? It seems to border around things that have to do with sexual warfare, either in the thoughts or in the body, you know, or in, you know, situations. So people look at you, Pastor Praise, you are, it looks like you were born again from the womb, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they just dropped you in church. And from there, you walked and came to Pastor Thompson, and you're serving, you preach the word and everything. So maybe you don't even know about this. So maybe it's not familiar to you. So I just want to ask you, is this a strange thing to you? Is this, I mean, let's just start from there. Then we'll go to Pastor Femi. Okay.
Thank you so much, sir. Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, pastors. Thank you for this opportunity. So to your question, I'll say that it's not strange to me at all. And I did not drop from heaven. I had a lot of these issues as well myself. You know, I can still vividly remember, you know, how it started. I won't go into the details, but I know it was secondary school. I had an exposure via a movie. It was a movie that I was seeing, and that movie, I was the only one there. So I kept rewinding it because it was strange to me. Before I knew it, I just saw my body began to fight. I didn't really have any full understanding of what was happening. And that led to, that was like the starting point of a lot of struggles that culminated in different several years of January, December 31st resolution. A lot, this particular thing. And before you know it, January 2nd, January 3rd, you're like, Lord, you help us again, you know. So it's actually not strange to me, you know. I had that struggle for years. And one of the things that, you know, based on the question I asked concerning a man having that struggle, we know that women have it, but in the ratio is much more, we see it much more with men. And I feel that it's also, because there's really nothing that you see that it does not have a genuine root, a genuine source. God made a man like that. You know, I feel that the capacity, the intenseness, you know, and that desire for sex is from the Lord. You know, is not of the adversary. And looking back, sometimes I had certain measures of victory, but I could not really calibrate how some of those things came. But when I sat down to look back and I began to look at, okay, how the Lord helped me, I was now beginning to say, oh, okay, this and this and this and this was actually, you know, what happened. One of the things that I can say is that the Lord actually designed a man's body as a pleasure house. The way God designed a man's body, you know, is a body full of desire. You know, when you say that I feel hungry, it's a desire to eat. I'm thirsty, it's a desire to drink. You want to sleep, it's a desire to take rest. So that what you want to get from that sleep is refreshing. Because there's always something to take from every of those desires that you fulfill. So God also put that desire for sex in a man. And there's something you get from it. And he put that within the confines of marriage. However, the adversary brings us into certain exposures that makes us to begin to tap from that before the time. And that place I say, do not awaken love until it please. Because when that fire awakens, to now put it off now becomes very difficult. Because the body has tasted a pleasure before the time. So the strength, and you've tasted something that you don't have the strength to put under. You know, when Apostle Paul said, I put my body under, is the design of the body is that it is possible that when you enter certain things, it rises above your ability to subdue it. Because the body has tasted something and wants to continue tasting it. So when you see certain people have certain cravings, certain desire for things, imagine you now, the thirst that you are feeling is because the body wants to drink water. But you have already, at some point, taken one very cold Fanta. That I share one. You understand what I mean? So, when the craving for thirst comes up, the first thing that will come to your mind, because you have taken Fanta over and over again, is not to naturally go and take water. You want to take something else that can bring a kind of pleasure that you got. So, that satisfaction that's supposed to come from water, you are now getting it in something else because it is heightening the pleasure in a bad way. So, the design of the body, that thing is a natural design of the body that we must even understand the biology of our body as men. Must understand the biology of your body as a man. So, it is just a craving that you've tasted before time and the body wants more. So, when you say you feel the urge, the body is pushing you to, because your body has receptors. It has memories. Not memories of how you felt when you were doing that thing. So it's pushing you that let's go there again, let's go there again, let's go there again. And without strength, you will never be able to subdue that thing. Now, I remember when I was younger, there was this issue I had with laughing. I don't know if you know, I don't know the English of laughing. We know Amala. But laughing is the white one. Yes, white. Yeah. So that time, we were going through a whole lot in my family. So what was available was laughing, and they call it onula. It's not okra, but it's grounded okra. That was what we had in the house then. So because the laughing was not properly sieved, so it has some things that we call legum, some thorns inside. So they made it like that. Because that was what we had. And we were hungry. And so I was eating it. So one of those sharp things is chook. I don't know what it is. In my throat. Because of the way I felt, I vomited everything I ate. Now, to tell you that the body has memory. From that time on, anytime I perceive the smell of laughing, the same feeling I had will come back again. And I did not eat that thing for a long time. To tell you about the memory of the body. So, same thing, pleasure. When the body tastes the pleasure before time, it keeps demanding for that thing again. So, you need a stronger inward strength. No wonder they say a man of knowledge increases strength. So, if we don't have the right knowledge to deal with this, you just see it will continue in the cycle. Because the body is demanding what it's demanding.
Hello. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Pastor Praise. I always like the way you bring your examples, you weave them. So let me just continue that conversation, you know, to Pastor Femi. So now he has, you know, he has mentioned New Year resolution. So first of all, it's clear that the battle does not respect anointing. You know, the battle does not, or maybe you're anointed, so I feel it will respect. Maybe it has respected you, you know. Maybe anointed men don't feel, you know, don't battle with such. But I want you to just pick it up from there. Let me just use one phrase. There's something Jesus said that this type goeth not out, but by fasting and prayer. So maybe Pastor, maybe he didn't cover that. Does fasting and prayer, you can just start with that and go on to other things. You know, what has your journey been? You know, and what are the different instruments you use? Which were successful? Which ones were not? You know, and what were the lessons that you learned? And how can your brothers, you know, benefit from this? Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Pastor David. Good evening once again, Daddy. And good evening to all of our daddies and pastors and my brothers. Thank you so much, Pastor Praise. You opened this discussion very beautifully. And one thing from my experience, and what I'm very sure is very common with my brothers also, is this type does not respect prayer. Yeah, and reason being that, you know, maybe personally, I've had the experience of wanting to use prayer to battle it, but I felt very flat. You know, it's all like WrestleMania, I was given an uppercut. I remember, was it in my 200 or 300 level, brother in the fellowship, I had fellowship in my room, you know, but then I had a friend who, somewhere they were growing together, but it was mostly in my room. So my room was the most used, so his room was cleaner, because we don't use it. It's least my room. We cook in my room and all of that, you know. So I remember his sister came to visit me, you know, for my department. And I don't know where that wisdom just came from to receive the visitation in that my friend's room, you know. Before I knew we were receiving the visitation, we laid down the bed together. But I was not comfortable. I knew if I continue this trajectory, you know, we'll be reading another scriptural passage, you know. So I told her, I'm coming. I went back to my room, right? And when I went back to my room, I prayed, Lord. When I went back to that other room, before I knew what was happening, I was lying down the bed near her again. I stood up, went back to my room.
It's difficult to believe Pastor Femi had this kind of fast.
I besought the Lord. Christ.
It was the third time, the only thing that helped me was my friend came back from class. I'm not sure if he had not come back, the story would have been a different story. The only thing that helped me, because I was very inexperienced by that time, you know, and I didn't have a lot of guide, you know, as it were, oversight. I didn't have all of that, like what we have now. You know, because I feel the principle for victory is the same, but the way it is adapted, especially also given the season of the spirit that we are in, should be quite different from what, you know, I had. I've had experiences also because everything I heard growing up was how a brother can fall flat, you know. So it felt more natural to me. Because I can remember occasions, at least two different occasions, another occasion where, I don't know, this is my leg, Sha. You know, I went to go and visit another sister, a friend. Remember I said I didn't have guide, you know, I was just doing all what I know to do best. But immediately I entered, she was not trying to do anything with me. But because what I had also known is that a brother visited a sister and something happened. So the moment I entered her room, I say like physically. I say shivering, like you know, I was so ashamed. But it's in retrospect I could tell the reason why my experiences were like that is also because of what I had been exposed to. Everything I've heard while on campus, and this brother visited this sister and was slid, not under the anointing, no, but you know. And that continued, because Pastor David, this conversation we are having is both a spiritual problem, is a biological issue, is an emotional issue, is a psychology. All of those realms of man really need to be addressed. I remember one of my, you know, pastor then, our son came to meet me. You know, apparently what was happening is that he started having wet dreams when he started getting to some puberty. And he didn't have anybody to explain or help navigate. Now, you know, the way we grew up, that's why I believe our children will have a different experience. The way you grew up, before you started having wet dreams, you already had memories of scenes where a lady and a guy were naked. So naturally, your wet dreams will follow that path. You can't have a clean wet dreams where it is just you passing out, you know, your semen when you wake up. It will be attended with an erotic dream. Because that's the exposure we had. You know, I've had that exposure growing up. The movies I watched, that's what I saw. So by the time that thing from just being spiritual has also married my biology, right? But I believe now we are having children, if we're able to navigate both their psychology, their emotions, their biology, and their spirituality, I feel they will turn out better, right? Because for me, you know, all my own logic was already molested with sexual exposures, you know, growing up. And that formed what was my reality. So just to take it to the, or just to, you know, affirm that reality. I remember also when, after the exposure, like Pastor Priest said, and then the difficulties started rolling in, you know, and then there was just quest for answer, like, whoosha, you know. Before you know, you are driven into the place of masturbation. I think for me, another thing that limited my going into all of those arts was because growing up, I was a little timid, right? I had everything perfected in my mind, but to carry it out, I didn't have enough boldness like some of my other guys. Exactly. You know, I had friends who, they used my room for the do in my 100 level, right? But the only reason why I didn't have the opportunity was just boldness. It's not the babes, right? And also because... No. Just showing that these are the things we... When we say it is common to a man,
yes, sir,
it is not a possession. It has a part. If we're able to trace the part and lock it in at their different... Nip them at their different junctions, I feel we can have a new breed of male men that does not have to grow up under this kind of assault. You know, but we were already molested even before, you know, we were released, as it were, you know, to the world. So I read a book, Finishing Strong, by Steve Ferrer, right? And Steve Ferrer mentioned that his father-in-law, when he was about to marry, wrote out 100 names to him, you know, and said that you should watch out. I think maybe the space of next 10 years or 20 years, you know, that it should keep ticking what's going to happen to this man. And he said, you know, after, I can't remember the number of years, I think he has already counseled out about 90 men that have been caught in one sexual trap or the other. You know, just to show, you know, how that. So I had all of those pieces of information, and to go into the next thing in terms of the place of the path of victory. So I had all of those kind of information. There were certain men also outside of the show. That's why I really hold our parents in the community in high regard. You know, because I had some men, you know, whom I didn't know. I just followed them, most of them outside the shores of Nigeria. Now over the years also, I've seen that this sex thing, Sha, it seems like it keeps catch. If it does not catch up with you now, it's looking like in the next 10 years, it's waiting for you. You know, it took me coming under this community to discover that this thing is not, number one, is not an almighty. Number two, is not a possession that when it comes for you, you are doomed to be able to obey it. You are not possessed. It is a law. If we are able to look and, you know, and for me, you know, before I, you know, hand over, I know Pastor Praise has a lot to share in the path of victory. You know, what I started discovering, sir, you know, for me, you know, after all of those exposures, part of my exposure was romantic novels. When I see a novel, I know there's that paragraph you see where the heart up because of mastery of reading those novels. You know, that was for me, you know. But one of those victory or ways I started seeing, you know, or I started learning to engage myself in, you know, even after leaving school. After leaving school, I remember when I went to NYC camp, some of the measure of the victory I thought I had, I discovered it was not total. Right. I still met another lady that I discovered that my body was naturally gravitating towards. So it made me understand that victory, I've seen people who they don't even have maybe Holy Ghost scriptures, but through certain kind of discipline of the flesh, they're able to put that in under. But of course, you know that's not victory. Because what you're putting under today will come for you. All right, that's not victory. So one thing I started discovering, you know, was that I started seeing that number one, I am not on, it's not a possession. You know, I discovered that it is not, sir, it does not belong to me. Yes, I'm not doomed to serve the craving. I'm not doomed to it. It does not mean, and let me just say this, one specific experience I had, you know, was an opportunity for that tendency to be opened, to be brought under an open shame. For us, it might be a place of accountability. I know some people will say, okay, I've been accountable. I've spoken to my pastor about it, you know, which we'll still speak more on if we still have the time. But for me, I remember there was an altar call, sir, that was called, you know, sexual issues, masturbation. So I was sitting there in the gallery. So my expectation was, I know it can't be only me now. If I walk downstairs, it would have been plenty. So I will be in the middle of the crowd to go and receive the person who was ministering, if it's grace, if it's... So that was my calculation. So it gave me boldness to want to start coming out. It was an audience of about 1,200. Right? So when I started coming out from the gallery, the next thing I discovered, when I got to the middle of the aisle, nobody was before me. Nobody was behind me. And this brother Femi that is in Bible study fellowship. Do you understand? Nobody was before me. Nobody was after me. Nobody was behind me. So it was a long walk to freedom. Because this thing you are trying to keep, eventually everybody knows that you have this disease.
Your walk to Golgotha.
That was the way I started walking. In fact, that was the longest walk I ever took. By the time I got to the front, you know, as maybe God was helping me, one or two other person came out. But I discovered, I don't think it was that prayer. I think that journey of opening that thing up was my victory. Yes, that demon, you know, that thing that held, I mean, this is something that I have pledged my help with. Oh God, if I do it again, one F. If I do it again, another F. If God answered it, I won't enter university. Because I will have 12 F, maybe 3 reserve for my course in 100 level. You know, there's nothing I've not pledged. I've pledged God, if I do this masturbation again, do this. I know we're dealing with more than masturbation, but I'm just saying that all of those things, they are in the same fellowship. It's fellowship of uncleanness. You know, right? So there's nothing I've not pledged. I've pledged my life. I've pledged my academics. I've pledged my ambition. I've pledged. None of my pledges have worked. So I discovered that coming. See that walk that I took that brought it on that exposure. You know, the moment I stood, I can't remember what, you know, the minister prayed. But that bringing it out into a place of shaming it. Let everybody see, you know, a quantum hold of that thing dropped. Standing up from that. I can't imagine those who might still have that issue with me who never stood, but that's still struggling till today. Right? So that was the first, you know, point of victory I started having. Let me hand over, you know, to Pastor Praise.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, sir. That was really insightful. I'm sure this conversation will keep, you know, as we have more meetings, as God creates space under God's servant, I'm sure would have more conversations because it's a very wide conversation. Pastor Praise, we'll hear from you last, but I just remember that for me, one door that opened, and like you said, me, I grew up from Deeper Life, from there, I went to MFM, from there, where did I go? I think Winners, yes, then from there, Redeemed, I think, you know, so I didn't have much... I didn't have much opportunity to be exposed as it were. But I realized that this is not about exposure alone. You know, to you, it came by exposure. My own came by curiosity, by reading biology textbooks. And my sister is a medical doctor, just checking some medical anatomy books that opened me onto some uncleanliness. So I didn't have, so it wasn't the institution of, I didn't even have, my arrangement was too rigid for me to even have those kind of friends that you have. Do you understand? It was too rigid. But inside that rigid castle, I was reached. Inside that place. And it was from the window of curiosity. From the window of curiosity. So that's how several chapters of uncleanliness opened for me. But I remember how that there was fasting and prayer. You know, shortly after fasting and prayer, maybe the devil will give you 3 days grace. From there, you know, filled with so much condemnation, you suffer yourself. I don't want to appear before God's people. Let me clean myself. Let me do this. You know, several things. And there's no bigger contradiction than it happening to somebody who you are looking for spiritual things, but you are seeing that contradiction in you. I will read Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8. Who shall deliver me from this body? I will read, you know, but the sin was clearly before me. But how to deliver myself? And I remember that one great area of victory was I spoke to, you know, one of our ministers. And that was one of the major entries for me into the world of righteousness. Because I started hearing about salvation of the soul. I started realizing that you can be a believer, but they are inconsistent. Because I will read John, my pastor will read John, 1 John, that he that is born of God sinneth not and cannot. Yeah. I say, how is this thing? Is it I'm not born or I'm born? Which is happening? I said, I'm born, but I'm burning. I don't understand what's going on. So, you know, it just occurred to me. So it was from there that then the emphasis of EGFM a lot was salvation of the soul. Salvation. So I now realized that there's actually a work for the believer. And I now began to learn and hear from different friends. They would talk that, oh, you know, it wasn't just about fasting and praying. As I began to hear word, some things dropped. As I just began to obey, some things just dropped by reason of obedience and alignment. It's not only prayer. Prayer is good. Word is good. But doing some things out of alignment wouldn't work. So finally, before I hand over to you, sir, the minister told me 3 things. You know, it was in this community. It's in this community, rather. So, When I spoke to him, he said something that, number one, he said that he also explained to me how he has gotten victory over some of those things. You know, if I mention, I'm sure we might know him, but I mean, that's not necessary for the purpose of this conversation. You know, he mentioned something to me in Proverbs 24, verse 5. He said, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. Then he then said something. He said, by the anointing, the yoke is broken. Before, I wanted to quickly rush and say, oh, so lay hands on me. He said, no. If you read ESV, he says, and in that day, his burden shall depart from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. He says, and the yoke will be broken because of fat. So he told me that the moment you begin to increase in knowledge, in understanding, and you are growing, your neck becomes too fat for some kind of yoke to press upon you. So that's first. Secondly, he told me spiritual authority. That the moment spiritual authority is aware of something, it doesn't automatically mean it's solved. But like Air Force radar, you now have somebody that is overseeing your airspace. They can sense when things are around you, they are aware. So that brings another level. Then thirdly, he told me something, that always having the word around you. He said the word is like mosquito coil. When it's always around you, flies that spoil the apothecary or something, they can't come close. You always have the word around you. So, you know, and from there, that was my walk to victory. You know, the Lord was able to help me and I was able to walk out of that. Did it happen instantly like a flick? I've had people that it has happened instantly too. They broke out of it instantly. Maybe the way they came into it, but the way I came into it, it took a walk. But I came out of it definitely. It's not even just the Lord helped me because of time. No time to go into so much of that. Then he mentioned something finally, Pastor Priest. He said, and I want you to talk about that. He said that sometimes you start something. After a while, it becomes a habit. After a while, a habit becomes a habitat. You create an environment. You continue in that, that habitat calls for evil spirits and it becomes a what? A habitation. So some people are not just in a habit. They've grown beyond that to create an environment. Then they've grown beyond it to create a habitation. That means, they are, you know, habits, you can even say, I will stop, I will pray. Now, this one, they are locked up. They are chained. There are some people I speak to, they say, I know this is wrong. I cannot stop it. I hear the word. I know this is. What, sir, do you think is the pathway, you know, to victory? We can't finish this conversation, definitely. This is a this, but these are real issues that tongue-talking, some tongue-talking brothers are facing. And I thank God for the way we've done it. This will be the last, and we'll close the conversation. We'll continue it in the next meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Pastor David. What it opened is very big. Hallelujah. No, we know that the scripture says that, I think that's 1 Thessalonians, that we should know how to possess our vessels in sanctification and honor. So sanctification and honor. So, like what you said now, and what I was also trying to say earlier, that we can come to a point whereby your body is not under your control anymore. The other people, other entities are running things for you. But you must know. That place tied it to knowing. You must know how. So there is a knowledge that you must still receive. Praise God. There is a knowledge that you must still receive. I like what they've said. You know, certain things requires. I could really tie mine to the fact that for a very long time, maybe I myself, I was like a free agent. I didn't have cover. I didn't have authority over me for a while. You know, until God began to say, you have to stay under. You have to stay under. It was an instruction that you must stay under. Because I had wanted to run and do many things, but they had to, that thing was just there showing me that you can't run with this kind of thing. You have to come under. And why am I saying this? I'm saying this because, you know, that place of knowing, like what he said, that the world should be around you, one thing that the world will give you is grace. The world is actually meant to supply grace. And what grace will do is that it will teach you to deny. Then it will not only teach you to deny. Many of us want to deny, but grace teaches you how to. It teaches you to deny this and this. You know how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So, I think vivid remembrances I have, you know, before I talk about Pastor David mentioned, you know, vivid remembrances I have, you know, with the word is that apart from that particular habit, that particular thing is tied to your vessel. So it's not just that you are doing the act, it's that you are not possessing your vessel. So imagine when they say flee fornication, they are talking to the believer that flee fornication. That whatsoever thing you do is outside the body, but this one is against the body. Say, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? You would have felt that our Holy Ghost should actually take this thing away. But they are telling you, or the Holy Ghost is there, you should flee fornication. So what that made me to realize is that Holy Ghost is there to give you step-by-step approach to come out of this thing. There's a step-by-step approach that Holy Ghost will give you. And that's why one of the things that I knew that was very emphasized for me was my relationship with the Holy Ghost. Devotion, communion, and sensitivity to pick his voice. Now, you are saying that, I fell. Holy Ghost made me to realize that, and I was they say that we should hear word. No, you can even say that, let's continue with the word, and you will know that you are not really, really hearing word. Even when you are in a place where word is being taught. Holy Ghost now reminded me, and he showed me that place. He said, my son, incline thine ears. He said, the way the word is, there is a way the word is supposed to pour into you. But that thing, because they don't want it to possess your soul, they will ensure that your vessel is not properly positioned to receive that word. How? You can have your ears plugged in, but you are scrolling notifications. So you are hearing, but you are not hearing. So there is no consecration, no intentionality to really receive what is inside the word. So how it started for me is that sometimes there'll be my phone will sound and I'll hear the word, leave that thing for another 5 minutes. My hand is itching me to pick my phone and check. But I say, no, I'm not just teaching you that when a prompt of maybe a naked woman comes, they begin to go deeper and search many things. Say, even before that, when you wake up in the morning and your hand, first thing, impulsively, is just to go to the phone to check time. They don't check time yet. Just leave the phone first. Leave the phone first. Begin to speak in tongues. What they were actually trying to teach me is to incline my ear. So I understood that I was in a point whereby many things were being said, but I didn't have, I give this example. Like when rain is falling, many of us, we put our water basins directly under the roof so that it can be full. If you put it inside the rain itself, it will not get many things. So there's a way that the heart must be to even receive the grace for that overcoming. So there's, because they will tell you flee fornication or flee youthful lust. Follow. So you cannot flee something without following. Without following something else. So that simply means that Holy Ghost will now begin to show you, begin to prompt you bit by bit by bit by. At some point, he said, all these social media stuffs. For a while, I was off it. For a while, I was away from it. For a while, before I began to come back. But that was after a while. I had to go off that thing. Why? Before you know it, you've opened Facebook. From Facebook, you go to Instagram. Instagram, you go to this one. And then you see, it will not start with a fully naked person. It will only start with a lady that is just half-dressed. From there, you click her profile picture. From there, before you know it, your body begins to remember what it felt. And you, by yourself, go and start typing some things. So, if you are to deny, that denying begins from the very, truth be told, you will know, that very first time, that because your body transmits motions. Your body is like electricity. The first time it hits your first time you feel it, you will know. And Holy Ghost will come there. That this thing. And it is sincerity that will make us know at that point if you should pick up your phone and call, or if you should leave that environment. But many of us, we are comfortable with that first feeling. Because denying is not after you have gone through it, oh, I now don't want to masturbate. You have already given your mind, your thoughts to the process already. So it is from that very first point that you say, okay, this thing, your phone, do this about this. Do this about that. And those instructions will come, you know, per time, per season. Why? Because they want you to incline your ears. And that thing will come with a decision that I want to own my body. I want to possess my body in all honor and sanctification. And for this place, one that he has said about, you know, that's become a habitation that I know that, but I cannot. What will still help that person is under authority. Because authority pushes away evil spirits. A person that is properly aligned under authority and begins to give himself, you know, to those commandments, to those instructions, that place of glorify the Lord in your spirit and your body, which are God's. Hallelujah. We only come as we gradually begin to yield. Gradually. Because it still works. There's no magic that will happen. No magic will happen suddenly and you just wake up and know. Like what Pastor Femi experienced, that process of walking. Some people can even open up to certain spiritual authority and after a while they can get used to it. Because it's a consistent work. The way you use that thing for years, I brought you to that point. So the way you even come out of it might even take consistent exposure such that at the very first feeling, you are shouting, you are running, because you must not be okay with it. We must not be comfortable with it. We must see it as this thing can take away inheritance from me. This thing can render me completely unworthy of the kingdom. So it is, I remember that time when I eventually began to remove every distraction. I said, if I want to listen to a message, I will sit with it phone aside, everything aside, praying in the Holy Ghost, because I know that it is what is there, because preaching is not just preaching. Preaching has things that are shooting into your soul, but you can take yourself off the mark by distraction. So that thing, that word is potent, but your heart is not receiving, because the adversary too does not want you to possess your vessel. So you will make everything legit. You know, we can even be here sitting, and as they are coming, we are already checking France versus Morocco score. We are already checking things, looking up and down. We don't even know that those things, they contribute to many things. It's the same soul. So when I say they want you to possess your vessel is, even if you are, if you don't do that thing, you might not still be possessing your vessel. Because it is an intentional, there's a discipline of how to say, this body, you will not bring me under your power. Because the body can bring you under its power. And it's not just only in sexual immorality, but that's what we are dwelling on today. You know, but I don't know if that was able to help us, sir. Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry, we exceeded our time. Time is fast spent. Pastor Femi, you pleaded to say something in 30 seconds. Can you still?
I think Pastor President said that's mindedness to the world. Not just listening to message, but the mind. If the mind is not captured, even when you have heavy heart concerning the issue, once the mind has not been captured, I don't think you can really capture a good victory.
Okay. Thank you so much. It's been a privilege having this conversation. Thank you so much to God's servant, and thank you so much to everyone. Thank you so much for staying fit for this. Thank you so much.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 90 42 85 0714. Remain blessed.